This is a HeadGum Original.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Jake and Amir, two Jews that you can't forget. In 2010, they were big on the internet. And all things considered, their success is more than fair. Now here's one more effort for only positive motivations, they swear. Another podcast. Each app different from the last. It's the Swiss Army knife of shows. Each of two emphatic hosts.
Welcome to the show, Mom and Dad.
Oh my God, it's so much fun to be here.
Yeah, really great to be here.
So you guys haven't seen Jake in over a decade. We wanted to bring
We've come to address my trauma.
Jake emancipated himself a decade ago, right?
As a 28-year-old.
Yeah, you're like, you're already financially independent.
Right.
This is exciting to have you guys. One, thank you for coming all the way to LA for it.
Happy to do it.
Yeah. And two, this is like us getting this other side of a story that Jake told on a podcast weeks ago about his college experience, or lack thereof. Just a little joke to lighten the load. You were clinically depressed for a year and a half.
Yeah, about a year-ish. Ish.
No, not to dive right into it, but Jake was telling us about how he went to one college and then slowly phased himself out without telling you guys.
Exactly.
How you found out. I'm like, I wonder if your parents remember it the same way. And Jake's like, oh, we should talk to them and see their side of the story.
Yeah. Then you guys were here and... You know,
it's kind
one thing
perfect.
Led to another.
Also, yeah. I don't trust a troubled 18-year-old's recollection of such an event versus his parents. I assume you guys have a clearer memory of what happened.
Yeah, because the way I remembered it, you guys hate me.
And I was Yale.
Yeah, as time goes on, the memories sharpen. They don't fade.
Exactly, yes, until you die and then it all comes into focus for one last second. We should say this is Segments, a podcast that, you know, constantly changing. This segment, I guess we can call it, interviewing Jake's parents.
Yeah. My mom has been on the show several times. This is your third or fourth appearance, maybe?
I think third.
Wow.
I think third, maybe.
Third, but first on camera.
Yeah.
And Dad, your first appearance?
I believe it's my first appearance. I know I've been mentioned because I got an email from some guy in Finland looking for, you know, legal help.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Based off some mention on a show that some banker heard and called this guy. And
I'm constantly shouting out your law practice.
In Helsinki specifically. I don't know if you know the tax code over there.
Fortunately, he was looking for U.S. tax advice.
So. Oh, okay. So right up your alley. So really, you're welcome. I don't know if you ever collected on that.
We did.
10% is kind of supposed to be split amongst Jake and myself.
Yeah, I'll offset the 10% fee against what Jake owes me.
Which actually is a great segue to the story. As Jake told it, He went to, what was your first college? Moravian, right?
Moravian.
Moravian, yeah.
And it was on a scholarship.
Partial scholarship, partial financial aid. I believe.
And you would go less and less and less to the point where you weren't going at all, but you didn't tell your parents.
Yeah.
You assumed they wouldn't find out.
I left 2 or 3 weeks early before school was over, and I said that I had finished all of my finals.
Did you guys believe that?
Yes.
So he shows up on like April 30th, and you're like, oh, I guess that's a little early, but what are we going to do? We don't know this guy.
I think it was a little early, but yeah, I believed he completed whatever he was going to complete.
We should say you also have 6 children, so it's not like you're keeping tabs on just Jake. There's a lot of balls in
the
air.
But the triplets were pretty good, so you don't really need to look after them that much.
They were not a lot of trouble. But also, I thought colleges would tell you as a parent if your kid had stopped coming to classes
and was 18,
flunking.
They're not allowed to tell you that shit.
I had no idea.
I'm a grown up.
Jake had a gun to the dean's head.
Hey,
call my dad and tell him I'm doing really well.
Like, did you guys get my grades from the first semester at Moravian?
I don't recall that. I recall vaguely.
I should say you're under oath right now.
Yeah, I have a vague recollection of getting, you know, something maybe towards the end of the second semester that you were, you know, not invited back.
Mm-hmm. And that you knew that before he got home?
I don't think so.
Yeah, maybe after.
It was after I got back.
I think it was somehow after you got back.
Wait, is that I wasn't invited back? Not that I lost my... I thought it was that I lost whatever financial aid that I had.
I don't think they took that step. I think you were just not going back.
And is that how you found out, or you found out from Jake?
I don't recall exactly. I think we somehow gradually realized that he wasn't going back.
And were you on the same timeline as Sam over here? You're like, oh, I guess Jake's not going back.
Yeah, we're on the same timeline. But I think I knew that Jake was struggling a little bit more than Sam did.
Did Jake open up to you about like the class isn't
not,
for me?
Not really.
Or he would hide it like, oh, school's going well.
He said school was going fine.
Phone calls.
Just like, yeah, everything's fine. He was very vague though.
Right.
Yeah.
But most teenagers are.
Yeah.
Can't get.
Well, I know he at one point said he didn't want to go back.
Right.
For the second semester.
Yeah, but I made it sound like it was my choice. I'm going to transfer schools.
Yeah.
Like, right. Meanwhile, with what record can you transfer?
But I think I was of a mentality back then is just if you buckled down and just did your job, you could get, you know, through anything. And maybe that was a bit of a reaction to having, you know, 6 kids and everything was, you know, very difficult. And I was really of a mentality where just do your job and get through it.
Yeah.
Even if you're a C student, as long as you get to graduation.
Yeah, if you work harder, you can be a B student.
Right.
Yeah.
And now it seems like I've taught you the valuable lesson that actually if you give up repeatedly, then you can fail into success.
Almost upward. Well,
I think you have given me the valuable lesson that I should have listened and been more sensitive.
Wow. That's nice to hear. Really. Then what happened in between Moravian and the next college?
Jake, I think we could call everything a gap year. We were able to sort of like frame it in that way. It was just like a step back.
Mm-hmm.
And my assumption was always that he was going to go to another better college than Moravian, even though his GPA was like 1.6 or less.
he was going to take the classes at Southern, which is a fine, you know, it's a state school, but
it's a decent school.
And he was taking a couple of classes there. And so I was really very optimistic that if he, you know, did his work, he could get through. And then at that point, he was writing for this school newspaper and had things published in the school paper. So I was very, you know, optimistic that he would get, you know, back on track.
Figure it out from there.
Yeah.
Wow. And yeah, I feel like once I left Moravian, I had some level of like, well, I don't know if you could call it success in writing for like the school paper, but I was proud of that. And was like, I could always point to, I'm not doing nothing. At Moravian, it was like, I was actually doing nothing. I wasn't going to class. I was like calling you guys for money so I could go to Quiznos during the day. And there was really not really anything else going on for me there. But when I went to Southern, I didn't necessarily like my classes, but I did like writing for the paper. So if the classes weren't going well, the paper was going fine.
Right. And I think the fact that you were writing, I mean, I felt very aligned with you in that regard. I knew you were a really good writer.
Now, what about high school? Because before I even went to college, did you think I was going to go to college? Because I was also a pretty bad student at high school. I was kicked out of one high school.
Kicked out of one.
One high school, two colleges.
My expectation, I think I just sort of am conditioned to thinking that all of my kids were going to go to college. It like didn't even cross my mind that yeah, that
you guys
was
both
like,
went to school.
You got, yeah, yeah. Which is that you went to, my mom went to Yale, my dad went to Columbia.
Yeah, and like we didn't, I didn't have a choice. I mean, I didn't, couldn't say, you know, Dad, I want to drop out.
Travel the world.
I did myself. Actually say that at one point, and there was just laughter.
No, I think you'll be going to Yale, actually.
But with Jake, I mean, my assumption was he would go to college, despite the fact that his college counselor at his high school said he didn't think Jake was ready for college.
Emotionally or intellectually?
Yeah.
Either.
I remember we both felt really slighted by that. But in the end,
yes,
he
was correct. Yeah.
He said, doctors said I would never walk again, and they nailed it.
What was his name? I guess I shouldn't come out with his name just in case.
Well, yeah, I mean,
Mr. Schroeder, right?
No, it was Richter.
No, it was a teacher.
Mr. Yeah. Richter.
He nailed okay. it.
And you know, right. he's a great guy.
Fucking nailed it.
So yeah, we're not throwing him under the bus.
No, he was a great guy. And he just like, he called it. He just said, some people aren't meant for college, and I think Jake might be one of those people.
Well, I feel like lucky people. Nowadays, it's all like medication and like more mental health about like why this student is acting the way he is. Was that ever considered back then in like 2002? Or is it like, no, college isn't for him and we're off to the next thing?
I think it was more the latter, like college isn't for him. I did wonder why we had paid for a private high school. And not an inexpensive.
Well, because I got kicked out of public.
Well, but then we sent you to private because we just thought that they would.
What do you mean you got kicked out of?
I thought that I wasn't allowed to go back to North Haven
because of the gun incident.
No, not the gun incident. I was skipping classes at North Haven. I guess I don't know if it was like they fully said you can't go back, but there was like some kind of like Mr. Dalai talked to you about like that I'd be better, that it would be better if I went to
school. Yeah, that was not the right place for you. Yeah, you needed more one-on-one. That is exactly true.
Yeah, but he wasn't actually thrown out.
Yeah, I don't know if you can
I think
be thrown
you can't
out.
Get thrown out of public school unless you like...
They could just beg you to leave.
I had enough like in-school suspension that it wasn't really worth anyone's time anymore.
That's it. And you were expelled, I believe it. There was some point...
No, I was suspended a few times.
So Moravian comes and goes. Southern Connecticut State is happening. Are you guys now like, all right, we really got to stay on top of Jake? Or like, he'll figure it out.
How about you?
I wouldn't say we were on top of him, but I think I was always optimistic that he would, you know, figure it out. And I feel like we, you know, supported him as he tried to do whatever, you know, all the different next steps.
That's nice. Yeah. Was there ever anger? Like, did you see this version of your parents back then? Or were you guys like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
I don't, no, I think that I never felt like they were angry. I think if anything, I felt like, I don't know. Maybe I felt like bad that I was disappointing them at certain points.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't. I mean, I sometimes, I don't know that I felt disappointed. I worried, you know, you kind of worry what's going to happen. And if, had I known what the future held.
Yeah. It turned out
turned out fine. Quite fine.
Turns out you don't need college necessarily.
Yeah. But it felt almost like going, you know, like when you accidentally go off a diet, not like... It wasn't like my parents hate me and I'm a total fuck up. It was like, oh, things are fine. Like, uh-oh, I've had like cheat meals for three straight weeks. It was like, okay, I'm going to school. I'm going to class. Oh, I got a C on that paper. That's all right. Uh-oh, I didn't go for a week and a half.
Yeah. Oopsie daisy. I hope this doesn't slide me out of college entirely.
And then I think I probably felt more like guilty than angry or like they were disappointed. I think it was all projection from me.
But you were afraid to tell them, basically.
Yeah, because I didn't want to get in trouble.
No, you don't want to get in trouble. Did trouble from the school feel like trouble to you, or like, that's fine, I don't care if my teachers are pissed at me?
No, I felt like I could always, if I had time, I could find my way out of the trouble to some slight success that I could spin in my favor.
Yeah, you just need to end on a high note.
Yeah.
Kind of like our videos back
right,
in the day.
Exactly.
How did Southern Connecticut State end?
I think similarly to Moravian, the first semester went fine. And then the second semester, I think I like maybe signed up for two classes, but very quickly didn't go to them
yeah.
at all.
Yeah.
And then I was like, I'm not going to go to school this semester. I'm going to I think I was, that was when I was working at the candy store.
Right.
I was like, I think I'm going to work at this candy store and go to school next year. And you guys were okay with that.
Yeah. Yeah.
That sounded like a good plan to you? Because it's like, hey, at least he has a responsibility.
I was succeeding yeah. at the candy store. They gave me the keys. They were letting me close up.
That was a fake key, actually. It was a candy key.
Yeah. Well, the manager always closed up right behind me.
And I could just use this ring pop to get in? Yeah, yeah, sure.
I think there was sort of like it was a gradual letting go of college at Southern.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you did okay that first semester. You were writing for the paper. We were feeling hopeful. Second semester, you kind of stopped going to class. And it was like yeah. a slow pulling of the rug out from under yeah. our feet.
So you say that you were feeling optimistic. What was the low point? What was the time when you were feeling like the least optimistic? Like, wow, did you guys ever turn to each other and say, damn, I really don't know if Jake's good.
But 5 out of 6 ain't bad, children-wise.
We still got Micah.
No, I don't think I ever quite felt like that.
There's no like rock bottom, going to jail and all this kind of crazy stuff.
I think there was an incident at Moravian, and correct me if I'm wrong about this, but one of your friends was going to Lehigh, which was right near Moravian, and you went to a frat party, and there was a fight.
Mm, yeah.
And you got punched in the face, or you punched someone in the face.
Somebody else punched me in the back of the head.
Okay. There was, and I was just thinking, you know, like, maybe, I don't know, I was just worried about you. Like, your judgment didn't seem quite there.
Yeah.
And also, tennis team. You were on the tennis team, which to me seemed like this huge honor, you know? And I was so proud of you being on the tennis team, and you had your tennis uniform. And
yeah, I actually stole that uniform. They wanted it back when I left, and I took it.
Right.
It's a very small school.
There you go. And I would have been worried about that had I known that.
Yeah.
But I think it was that stuff where I would like feel, you know, proud, like even going to a frat party at Lehigh. I mean, that sounds like a wholesome college activity. But then getting punched in the back of the head.
Did you know he got punched?
I must have told you, right? You told me. You didn't go to the infirmary or anything
no,
like that.
No, it wasn't that serious.
Do you remember why somebody punched you?
I think I like did something. I think I was getting kicked out because of the way we were playing beer pong. And I don't remember.
Unbelievable.
Like, it was,
you finally got upset?
It was
what?
You were playing Lehigh rules? You can't swap the bounces there. I don't remember why we had done something or made fun of somebody while we were playing beer pong and we were getting kicked out. Then as we were leaving, I think I did something to deface the frat photo.
Unbelievable. Yeah. You cannot do that. Not the frat photo.
Yeah. Those are
it was serious.
Sacred.
I thought you raised a better man than that.
Yeah.
So what happens after the second college?
The second college, then I went to, then I enrolled at the new school.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's in New York. At that point, you were in New York, though.
Yeah. So I dropped out of Southern. I worked at the sweet shop. I volunteered at the hospital. So like on paper, writing for the paper.
And you got an apartment too.
Yeah, and I was living with Steve over at Willow Street. It looked like I had my life a little bit together. And then I was like, all right, I've made it to the top tier of the sweet shop. I'm basically the manager there.
The candy man.
The candy man.
I became the logo.
And I think at that point I had started my internship for college, or not internship, I was writing articles for College Humor. And I emailed Streeter and I asked if they needed an editorial intern. Streeter let me interview. I interviewed with him and Jeff Rubin at the Tribeca office. And I got the editorial internship at College Humor. So that was like, I'm going to move to New York for this internship and I'll take classes at the new school.
Are you guys excited about that? Were you like, I don't know about this whole college humor thing?
I'm sure I was concerned financially as to how he was going to afford the apartment.
Actually, I think I have an email from you that says you're proud of me. One second.
Okay, hold on.
I can pull it up.
Just do a Google search for proud of me. It's the only one in your inbox.
It's in my starred emails. I saved it. Okay. He said, all right, this is, oh, wow. All right, August 29th, 2007. It looks like this is me talking about enrolling at classes at the new school. Hey, Dad, I just found out the prices listed in the course guide aren't really that accurate. I guess the price is closer to $800 per credit, which they didn't specify as me asking for cash. Each class is worth 3 credits, so it actually adds up to be over $2,000 per course. I think I maybe said it was $800 per course or something. What should I do? Register for one, maybe? And you said, I do not want you to take on more than you can handle. So 2 is way too many.
I said 2.
No. You said, if you can really handle 2 courses and do the work and complete the courses, I am okay with you taking 2 courses. But I also expect, whether it is 1 or 2 courses, that you be very careful with spending money, including the use of your cell phone, using my speed pass, etc. This is when I was using Dad's mobile speed pass to pay for gas.
Okay. So you ended up taking 1 class?
Well, so then I respond, I can definitely handle 2 courses. I was just concerned about how expensive they were. If I can become a degree student in the spring, the courses will be slightly cheaper. Also, I will be very frugal this year.
Oh.
And wow. To this, my dad responded, okay, good luck. I am proud of you for your success at College Humor and for following up on the courses.
Wow. Do you remember writing that?
I do not.
Because I wrote it for him.
I did not remember every single email.
Yeah. But do you remember that general gist?
Yeah.
Like, oh, he's in New York. He's on top of shit. He's not going to spend too much cash.
Yeah. I was always really, as I said before, I was always, you know, optimistic and thinking that he would
figure it out.
Interesting, because I did not know that you guys were optimistic that I would.
Yeah,
would
was that blind out. Optimism, or did did he have something that you're like, oh wait, there is something there?
I think he was a smart guy.
He is
a smart guy. I think he really just had to get through whatever he had to get through to be successful.
Sometimes it is the classes and or colleges are not for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think at Hunter was where I finally took a creative writing course and I did really well. And that was the first time I did well in a college course.
Yeah.
And then I dropped out.
But your teacher really liked you. And I remember thought you had, you know, potential. And that was exciting.
Mm-hmm.
So
that was the college that I dropped out of because things were going well at College Humor. I think I've said this already, but around this time when I was taking that class, Streeter said that my internship was going to be paid, and then Ricky said that I can come in as many hours as I want. So I said that my classes were all at night, and then I dropped out.
Did you guys know that he was dropping out?
No.
Well, you must have known, because I would have asked you for money to register for the other courses, right?
Which you did. Spend it on Quiznos again.
I feel like if we... I don't know. I think maybe it's having so many kids, or maybe just Jake being Jake. We just, if we didn't hear anything, if we didn't know there was a problem, we assumed everything was fine. And it was probably a little bit denial, a little bit of optimism.
a little bit of distraction from the other kids.
Yeah, that too, distraction. I definitely worried more than Dad, I think, just because I couldn't imagine a path forward. But then when College Humor really kicked in, I could imagine.
Right.
Was there a point where you're like, oh wow, Jake's actually doing well? It's not just blind optimism.
Probably NAPOD.
It wasn't until Carnegie
4 months ago.
I think it was when we went on a tour of the College Humor office.
Yeah.
And
snacks.
And you guys had free snacks. Yeah.
Zero
dispensers
as far as the eyes can see.
And then when people I knew started knowing who Jake was because their kids watched Jake and you.
Yeah.
You know, they're I had friends who would bring their kids over to the house for a sighting of Jake.
Did you guys like those videos? Because we've been rewatching some of the old ones, and, we were like, these are awful.
I thought they were great.
Really?
Yeah.
Even like the old, terrible, unfunny ones? You loved them all?
I love them all in degrees. Some of them I loved like a lot.
But you were never like, oh my God, this is kind of embarrassing.
Never.
No, not at all.
Never. That's nice. And I mean, I think the content, I think humor now, it's harder to find stuff that's genuinely funny and fresh and, you know, different. You guys created these characters.
Well, we invented the funny man, straight man dynamic.
Yeah,
it was us. Totally did.
We were the first YouTube video ever, really. And then everything took off from there. But my parents don't understand it. Just maybe the language barriers. They don't like watch the videos, or if they did, they wouldn't fully understand what they are. So it was funny to have Jake's parents, you guys, watch them. And I'm like, I wonder if they even like this stuff.
Oh,
well, I don't know. Jake may have inherited some of his sense of humor from us. So.
Yeah, interesting, because you said it skipped a generation. But
right. My grandparents were hilarious. These guys are sticks in the mud.
So that's cool. So then by the time Jake and Amir and the college humor stuff rolled around, you're like, okay, I can finally maybe rest easy about the whole not finishing college thing.
Yeah.
It had to be partially that I stopped asking you guys for money at a certain point too, right?
Yeah, and you started giving people money.
Yeah, well, that didn't happen until more recently.
Yeah. But I mean, even you're charitable. That's just you. You're very generous.
And at some point, we didn't have to guarantee his leases.
Yeah.
That was
real
great.
Sign of
70
success.
Times rent or whatever the insane rule is. It's like,
yeah.
Trust me, I have $190,000 in the
it's
bank.
It's not going to be an issue.
Let me live here, Jesus.
Yeah, God. There were a couple times that I ran out of money in New York doing, you know, paying rent. But I don't think I told you guys that. Oh, no, yeah, I borrowed money for you one time when I was like 24 or something.
Yeah, I don't remember exactly. But I mean, it was harder to send money somewhere, too, because it was before, you know, Venmo and everything.
Yeah, wow.
Western Union.
Right.
Yeah, now the kids are fucking Venmo requesting their parents from college.
You don't have the money transfer.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of interesting. If I could have just done that without even talking to you guys, that would have been really sad.
Well, they still would have to approve it on their app.
Yeah, I guess so. But I feel like you learn a valuable life skill, like tactfully asking your parents for money.
Yeah, it has to be
like you read that email, right?
Yeah, that was a really nice email.
Yeah.
That was a good email. Congrats on the email. Email-wise, it was awesome. Mm-hmm. Regrets? Do you have a few? Or, hey, it all worked out. I think everyone did their best job.
I have some. What do you mean about this in particular?
Yeah, all's well that ends well, in a way.
I wish I was more sensitive, and I wish I said, you know, a second semester, don't go back to college, or maybe don't go to Moravian, go someplace local or take a year off. But I was, you know, too much of, you know, you gotta, you know,
stick,
you know,
with
go
it.
A, you know, straight the, you know, the intended path, and you just got to get through it. So I shouldn't have been like that.
No, I don't. I think that's very sweet, but I don't think that I don't think that I felt that very intensely. I guess, I don't know. Maybe I did.
That seems like the hardest part about parenting. It's like, when do you stop telling your kid to power through and figure it out? And when do you like say, okay, you
right,
can give
sometimes
up
Sometimes you do want them to.
Right. Like, I didn't want to go to Jewish sleepaway camp because I was afraid of like being away from my home for 3 weeks. And now as a 41-year-old, I'm like, I wish my parents made me do that. But then it's like, if I'm crying and I'm 11 years old, I'm like, I don't want to go to like Jewish summer camp. Like, do I actually wish they threw me in a van and threw me into a Jewish summer camp and left me there?
And I wish you guys made me play soccer for longer, because I actually suck at soccer, and Micah's pretty damn good.
Yeah,
well, and I think if you didn't let me quit soccer, then...
Well, you're pretty good now. You came back.
It's really all heart, though. I don't really have any like game... I don't have any
But like, Amir, do you have like, is your mom kind of like... Do you have a good cop, bad cop situation at your house?
With my parents or with me and my parents?
With your parents.
A little bit. My mom's like, she didn't want us to like learn things the hard way. So she's like, you know, created rules. Like, you have to do this. You don't have to do this. Don't drive at night, blah, blah, blah. Like, taking the keys away. Like, it's not like, oh, let him do whatever he wants and he'll figure it out. But then, likewise, I didn't, you know, drink or do drugs in high school, which seems like it was a good thing. But then maybe you can zoom out and be like, maybe he should have done more of that stuff in high school. Maybe it would have been more like gratifying if you forced him to do like the Jewish summer camp thing.
Was your dad more strict or
no?
He was more lenient. He was more like kind of you do.
Yeah, I think my dad was more listening to your mom, and my mom had the rules.
Because I think Sam and I just had such wildly different approaches. And you can correct me if I'm wrong on that one, Jake, but I just feel like I was a lot of love and it's okay and you're going to be fine, honey. And Dad was more...
Call me for tax advice.
I really think that's almost what I keep on thinking of, because you're saying like that you wish you were more sensitive or like let me do stuff. But I think it was, mom is very, very... very emotional and also like will give more words of affirmation. She'll share more. And I don't think you were necessarily mean, but you were just more quiet and reserved. Mm-hmm. You never really said anything that was mean to me. Like if you look at this bringing back the email.
Yeah.
But her email.
But I think they're maybe just me being young. I took the silence for disapproval because I was disapproving of myself. Mm-hmm. It's almost like the reflection of your silence is whatever I was gonna tell myself.
Yeah, I think maybe if you did something that was, you know, that would have logically disappointed me, you probably could have sensed disappointment on my part.
Yeah, makes sense.
But yeah, it all worked out.
Mm-hmm. It really did, it really did.
I mean, you're sitting on a nice couch right now.
Yeah.
The posters are cool.
Everything is cool.
We have
everything.
A podcast,
which is pretty amazing.
Like a TV show.
That's it. Yeah.
Yeah. I guess I failed out of college, but you never thought that one day I'd have a podcast.
The joke's on all of us. Should they stick around? Should we do another segment?
Yeah, let's do one more segment.
I wanted to run the poems I've been writing past you.
Oh.
Because I know Jake gets his love of poetry from you, or maybe it's from Sam.
Oh. Not from me.
Okay. Yeah. So. I've been trying to write poems for Jake, try to trick him into thinking they're real award-winning poems.
And I listened to this segment where Jake read a Mary Oliver poem, mm-hmm. an AI poem, and his poem, which I thought actually was pretty decent.
Thanks, Mom.
I really did. I thought
good.
It was good.
Yeah, it was
really
no good. Programmatic algorithmic one that was spit out in less than a nanosecond, but it was still pretty good. Yeah.
Well, that one mentioned Mary Oliver by name, which was ideal.
Yeah, and that was so strange. That was, yeah.
The woods, but that the was kind that Mary Oliver walked through.
I like the Ha'un poem.
Yes, okay. So let's take a break, come back, and we'll talk about the Ha'un poem. Thank you to Squarespace for sponsoring this episode of our show. We love Squarespace.
That's correct. I use Squarespace over and over again, all the time. It is my go-to.
Yeah, you've built multiple websites.
Yes.
It's kind of insane. You're like almost a Squarespace entrepreneur at this point. You must have made, what, 3, 5, 50 websites?
I am a mogul. Yeah, I am a scion of Squarespace.
So you know how easy it is to design, mm-hmm. and you don't need to know much programming, if any, at all, to create a professional-looking online store, portfolio, blog, vlog. Hell, you'll even create a slog.
I have created a slog, and it is a slog.
Yeah. That's a secret vlog.
Right.
You can even purchase domain names through Squarespace. Jake, what did you find that people can buy right now?
Fly a bike. You've heard of fly a kite. Well, how about you fly a bike? That's where you tie a string to a bike and run with it and see if it will fly. And if it does, you'll post it on this website, flyabike.com. Thanks, Sharks.
That's pretty good, actually. Yeah. Mine is bikeafly.com, which is also available.
Really?
Yep.
You can bike a fly? That's good.
Yeah, you put a little flea on like a bike. Like, oh my God, look at this tiny little circus.
Yeah. All right. Cool. That's really smart.
So if you want to buy those domain names, or maybe somebody in your life is turning 50 and you want to buy them a website to show you how much you appreciate them, you can buy their fullname.com if it's available. You can do it all.
Gorgeous.
And you can also do email campaigns. You can sell content. They got award-winning customer service. They even got a new AI tool called Squarespace AI to update written content on any website, product description, or email. So it can generate instant personalized results for your brand, which is kind of cool.
Very cool.
So to get access to all of these cool features and more,
Just head to squarespace.com/segments to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain by using that code segments.
Baller.
Yeah, that's squarespace.com/segments to save 10% off your first purchase. And then when you're ready to launch, you'll just use that code segments.
Segments.
Thank you, Squarespace. Thank you to BetterHelp for sponsoring this episode of our show.
Oh, yeah, baby.
It can be easy to ignore your social battery and spread yourself thin, but that's not helping anybody.
Right on. It is not.
If you're feeling depressed or anxious about the state of the world or some sort of interpersonal relationship you're having with family, friends, loved ones, your job potentially.
Mm. Oh, yeah, that's true.
The best way to help yourself out of life's difficult situations is to talk to a professionally licensed therapist. And the best way to find a therapist is with BetterHelp.
Exactly. Right.
Finding a therapist used to be so difficult. You used to like have to ask a friend of a friend, drive to a waiting room, give it a shot, see how it goes. But with BetterHelp,
right.
You just fill out a brief questionnaire, you get matched with a licensed therapist right away, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge.
Perfect.
And you know the whole thing's online too.
Oh yeah. So you don't have to drive somewhere. You don't have to sit anywhere. You can just log on from your house. You can even text your therapist, which is very nice.
That's cool. So find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Just visit betterhelp.com/segments today to get 10% off your first month. Therapists can be very expensive. With BetterHelp, they're affordable. And if you go to betterhelp.com/segments, you'll even get an extra 10% off their already more affordable price for your first month.
You'll love to hear it.
So treat your mental health seriously. Take advantage of this great offer. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/segments.
Segments.
Thank you, BetterHelp. This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers. Aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, wow.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Legends! All right, we're back. One of my most, I guess, influential pieces was a poem I called Haun. Which I made about a Korean immigrant, kind of like I moved from Israel to America.
Oh, don't
two.
Make
this
it.
Guy
yeah, don't
moved
make,
from
yeah.
Korea to try to trick Jake into thinking it wasn't about me.
Right.
And it was called Haun. You have it on your phone, right?
Haun.
Okay.
By H.E. Kim.
Also fake, yeah. But that sounds pretty real, right?
It does.
Yeah.
Right off the bat, you don't think that's me.
Tap yeah. as Harrison hopscotched across kindergarten chalk towers. Clap as Harry graduates, now dancing across the stage in gowns and hats. Disguised symbolically at first, then veiling historically, Haun sits now to mourn Haun, then Harrison, then Harry. Now that I've read it a third or fourth time, it's awful. Honestly, but let's go line by line.
I thought it was better when you read it now. I'm like, okay, that was my best attempt at a quote-unquote real poem.
Let's go stanza by stanza.
Well, first impressions, when you hear that, does that sound like it could have been an award-winning poem, or does that sound like a six-year-old trying his hardest to make it sound like a real poem?
It doesn't sound award-winning, to be honest.
But... And that's fair. Honestly, I don't even like it that much.
But there is a middle ground between six-year-old and award.
Apparently. Yeah. High schooler?
Yeah.
High school writer poem?
Yeah, but it's like
higher.
Almost...
Really?
Yes. So his
dad liked it.
Yeah, I liked it. Oh. I think it's a good poem.
Okay. What about what about Sadie? Did you like his poem Sadie?
I don't remember Sadie.
That was the ancestry one. Oh, yeah. All right, let's stick to Ha'un.
Okay, Ha'un. Oh yeah. So what did you think about that one?
I actually thought it had the flow was really interesting. It was all consistent with the character you created.
Thank you.
The language wouldn't be fluid.
Yeah.
So it was like kind of it was structured well for what it was. I thought that
you're really reaching to give him a compliment.
No,
do you feel like
no,
that?
It's really true.
But I like it.
I like the simplicity of the language. There was nothing about it that seemed overblown or like you were trying too hard.
Yeah, like using words that nobody uses just because I wrote a cool poem.
But tell me, it tap as Harrison Hop scotched across kindergarten chalk towers.
That's really good. That was my favorite part.
Actually. I feel like Hop scotched. I don't think it needed to be past tense. Is that fair?
Watch as. Is it watch as or is it clap as?
Tap as.
Tap as Harry, yeah.
What is tap? What does that mean?
Like he's tapping and then as a kid, he's Harry playing hopscotch, written in sort of a flowery poetic language.
Yeah.
And then it cuts to his high school graduation and his name is different now.
Can I read it on your phone? I'm sorry to...
Yeah, of course.
I just want to... pass this phone to my mother.
He obviously doesn't want you to read it.
It might be weird when you read it, but just know that.
No.
I didn't format it like that.
It does... Ooh, sorry. I lost the format.
Oh, wow.
Classic parents.
It was
so embarrassing.
No,
You need glasses, honey. Dark glasses.
Oh, thanks, honey.
It's really good.
Right, these are a little.
Okay. Yeah. Moved to tears a little bit, I think, reading it. It's kind of exciting.
Dad, what did you like about Ha'un?
I just thought the name progression was so cool. It just told so much.
I also thought it was cool, and it did tell you so much. And I feel like we've always had more of that practical connection versus Jake and Laura.
I still like hopscotched across kindergarten chalk towers. I really do. I love that little stanza.
Okay.
I'm a little bit...
1 second, she's talking. And what did you love about me?
What else did H.E. Kim say in this poem?
He Kim.
I get a little confused with disguised symbolically at first, then veiling historically. Oh, no, I'm not. I'm not confused.
She figured it out.
I get it. I just figured it out.
What does that mean? Nothing.
Because disguised symbolically is in his name.
Yeah. He didn't want to be known as Ha'un because, like, the kids would make fun of him.
Right.
Disguised.
Right.
But why symbolically? What makes it disguised symbolically?
The letters themselves are symbols rather than letters. Right?
I think Jake just didn't understand the poem, and that's why he is tearing it down.
Then veiling historically.
Veiling historically, like putting veils over his own history.
Right, because that might have been his father's name
Harrison,
or grandfather's name.
Yeah. Yeah. I get it.
And then the last line? In terms of the last line, did you think I stuck the landing or was
it
sort of...
Sits now to mourn Ha'un?
Yeah.
Then Harrison, then...
I will. I think the last line is good. I think the first line is fine. I think the middle one, where he's just graduating, not enough there.
Wait, so did you major in poetry at college?
That's actually a really good question. I didn't, in fact. I was trying to prove to Jake that despite his love of poetry, I could write something quickly that would move him
and
in the same way that real poems do.
You haven't been able to.
Yes, and it's something that Jake sort of has. It's an intangible quality. I'm reading a poem. He's like, that one moves me emotionally. I can't put my finger on why, but I know you didn't write it. Mm-hmm. This one did not do that.
Mm-hmm. I think if the middle stanza was more about him, like...
I think, Jake, actually, you're completely right about that. Jake's good with this stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's top and bottom, great.
Middle stanza. That's the problem.
You could work on that, though.
Yeah, could you think so? Like,
yeah.
There's,
yeah.
See, there's a foundation to graduate. There.
You're obsessed with school.
Yeah.
Because he's hopscotching at school. Then he's graduating. And you know what? It's the graduating across the stage and then sitting to mourn Ha-un.
Yeah.
If you want to, like, it kind of condenses this history. Is he sitting at graduation or is he sitting later in life? I'm not really sure what's happening.
It's kind of interesting, though.
I think it would be hopscotch to, like, maybe marriage or maybe the birth of a child.
Oh, interesting.
And then to the end of his life. I think that's you're trying to.
But he's not there yet.
So he should. Amir should continue working on it and develop the more middle stanzas.
In real time,
I think you need middle stanzas, plural. Mm-hmm.
Well, at this point, Ha-un is bunk.
Do you guys want to play Hogwash or Ha-un?
I'm sure you're familiar with that game. Yeah. Hogwash or Ha-un.
Do you know how that works? You remember this one, right?
Yeah. You have to say the right word.
No, you actually choose whichever one you want, either Hogwash or Ha-un. And whoever laughs is eliminated.
Right.
Oh.
So I'll say either Hogwash or Ha-un, then Amir, then Mom, then you.
Then Harry, then Harrison, then Hogwash.
You can say either Hogwash or Ha-un. The object is to just not laugh.
Okay. We'll give it a shot. I think your parents will win. Okay, let's try.
Hogwash.
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 Ha-un.
So Jake's eliminated. That was really good.
All right. So it's Amir, my mom, and dad.
Playing that classic game. Once again, if you're just watching, we're playing Hogwash or Ha-un. Ha-un.
Hogwash.
Hogwash.
You guys did great. I mean, there's nothing else to say.
It's my mom versus my dad.
Okay, all right.
Someone's going to win.
I think it will be me. All right. Show up. Hogwash.
Ha-un.
Hogwash.
Ha-un.
Hogwash.
Ha-un.
Hogwash.
Hogwash.
Oh, you got her. Damn.
It's a game that's sweeping the nation.
It really is spreading. I thought I saw two high schoolers playing
it outside.
I swear, I think I saw that for whatever reason. Exciting way to end.
Wow.
Great job.
Great job.
Thanks for going down memory lane. Yeah.
Yeah. It felt like we went to couples therapy or parent therapy.
It really worked through some stuff, in a good way. Yeah. It really, very really cathartic. Did.
We'll get the other kids in here one at a time, too, so we could sort of audit you.
See
how you did.
It's a good idea.
Was anybody as time-consuming as Jake? We all have our own issues.
Jake had he was so popular and charismatic, actually, that was almost a problem in and of itself. I think
that was too cool.
You were a little, I felt like I had to somehow tamp you down.
I have to dull this light.
No, I remember the speech that I gave for your bar mitzvah about you, and I said that you had a lot of power and that I wanted you to use it for good.
And did I?
Yeah.
Not
ultimately,
always.
You really did.
Ultimately, for sure.
Yeah.
That's nice. Icons. And we're back.
Yes.
Your parents are gone.
They left in a huff.
That was what you so said or weird. Did to them. Yeah. It was crazy to have them here. Right.
My mom threw her water at you. I guess we cut just before you said whatever you said to her.
I hissed at her.
Tossed her water at you.
Yeah.
My dad tried to attack you. I had to hold him back.
Can we roll that? Or we weren't rolling
on
that?
We weren't rolling on that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I feel like cooler heads prevailed.
Not really.
Angrier heads left.
Yeah. Angry heads left.
Yeah. And now I'm fine.
What you did.
I couldn't have just been the hiss. All my chest is scratched up.
Right.
I'm surprised it's not leaking through this shirt.
On the theme of this lie, we're actually going to play a game called Two Truths and a Lie.
Good segue. I got mine written down. You just thought up two truths and a lie off the top of your head?
Uh-huh.
Okay, we'll start with yours since you might forget them.
Okay. I've been to 49 of 50 states.
Mm-hmm.
Anything?
It feels true, but it might be like 48. So let's hear the other two.
I once got 14 stitches.
That feels true.
I once pooped on the floor in a public restroom.
So it's the first or third one is the lie. I'll say the first one's the lie. You've been to 48 or 47 states.
What restroom do you think I pooped on the floor of?
I think you had like some sort of diarrhea or bad situation when you were like nine or 10.
Well, you should know that the point of two truths and a lie is to humble brag. Yeah. So I've been to 49 states.
Oh.
I did get 14 stitches. Oh. Both pretty cool. And pooping on the floor of a bathroom.
I did that too. Hoorah!
That's one thing I wouldn't cop to publicly.
Really?
Yeah, that's a lie.
Interesting.
Yeah.
All right. Good game.
Thanks.
Let's see if you can beat this one, though.
Okay.
These are three sport-related ones.
All right.
I played...
I think they should be about you.
They are about me.
Okay. All right, yeah.
The league leader in yards per catch was Yancey Thigpen in 1989.
It's not you.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. These ones are about me. Okay.
Yancey Thigpen?
Yancey Thigpen. I played flag football last Thanksgiving. Mm. Doable. I turned my ankle playing tennis last week.
Mm.
Interesting.
Then why?
I never learned how to swim. I just kind of figured it out.
That one seems so true for you.
Again, I played football last Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
I turned my ankle playing tennis last week.
Yeah.
I never learned how to swim. I just sort of figured it out.
Turned your ankle, would that mean like I almost injured it, but I didn't? Like I twisted it, I like walked it off.
Yeah.
That seems,
it could have been a tweak.
Yeah. That seems very in play. But I do believe there was a tennis injury that happened to Cohen. So that maybe is just why it's top of mind.
Yeah.
Flag football seems like the kind of thing that Billy Scafuri would organize for everybody over Thanksgiving because he's just a good-natured,
like a turkey
good old
bowl.
American boy like that. The swimming, I just can't really picture you learning how to swim.
So you're saying they all sound true.
No, I think the lie sounds the most lie-esque.
Which is what?
Which is that you turned your ankle.
Trying not to get emotional. But you're wrong.
Really?
I tweaked my ankle playing tennis last week.
You did?
Yes. I sort of hit a backhand, and then when I landed, I like had my ankle rolled, and I fell to the ground.
Interesting.
A little sore, but ultimately fine. Well, it wasn't a full twist.
Yeah. All right.
Never learned how to swim is correct. I never took like lessons. I was just like, all right, that looks like swimming, and I can sort of figure it out, but I'm not very good.
You're
at
old
it.
Enough that you're like, okay, I flail my body.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Or like I watched the Olympics. I was like, sort of, I could do that, but I never like learned the technique with like twist to breathe, twist to breathe, like the fucking doggy paddle, the breaststroke.
Right. If you jumped in a pool now, what's your what is
die.
Your stroke?
I would die in 15
you
seconds.
To the bottom like a stone. Immediately inhale.
I fill my lungs up with water. Get on my back and go to the floor.
So you didn't really play flag football?
Did not play flag football. It just sounds like something I would have done.
Yeah, it sounds like something Billy Scafuri would have organized.
Yeah, I feel like he has done that before.
Yeah.
Maybe on Christmas. But I was definitely not invited. Yeah. I haven't played flag football probably since seventh grade.
Wow. Yeah.
The look on your face when you guessed the tennis injury.
In retrospect, I should have guessed the flag football because I definitely can't see you doing it.
Right. Like, what position would I play? Yeah. And it's too cold outside. Mm-hmm. I'm with my family. Yeah. I'm not
you might
just...
play left out. Like, you're not.
Like, wide receiver?
No, like everyone else is playing and you're left out.
Like left tackle?
Yeah, no, not left tackle. Like, you're not invited. Yeah, you're not QB. Told about. You're left out.
Yeah.
You're left out of the line. You were... warming the bench.
That one was the lie.
Yeah. Are you okay?
There was a game organized and I was left out, but that wasn't my position, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
It does.
So that insult was added to injury.
So that insult, I didn't understand it.
Nice. Good job. You embarrassed
over my
me.
Head.
I don't feel shame.
You tried to embarrass me, but it didn't work. I didn't get it.
This guy's too dumb to realize he's even being insulted. All right. Good games.
Great games.
I'm glad your parents were here to get to the bottom of that.
Me too.
Did you learn anything?
It was kind of interesting just to see, like, I feel like a big part of my history was how much I disappointed my parents or how much I failed, et cetera, et cetera. But having them here and then kind of remembering, they did give me a lot of chances and really believed
in yeah, me. They were sort of optimistic yeah, more than anything
else. It was just really
else.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In fact, it might have undone everything that you've done so far. Notice right. that you've been trying to prove them wrong.
Right. Yeah, yeah. I
never You're disappointed did anything. In me? Watch yeah. this right. shit. Yeah, now yeah. they're like, oh, no, we were never disappointed.
I never succeeded to prove yeah. anyone wrong. I actually succeeded because I just kept on getting propped up after mistake yeah. after mistake.
Right.
Which is great parenting.
You sort of like, you stumbled, but since you were on a hill, you were just sort of like winning the race by accident.
Yeah, yeah, kind of.
So now you can quit because you don't have to sort of.
You should quit while you're ahead.
Chase after their approval anymore. That's you already right. have it.
Yeah, evidently.
That's nice to hear.
I should have your parents on. I'm sure they would actually admit to being disappointed in you.
For being on. I wonder if my parents would do this show. They would be like, what are you talking about? It would be like, I don't understand.
I don't think we'd
do
be
it.
Able to get a word in edgewise.
What we'd have to do is record them at a dinner table and call it a podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah, we should retroactively.
I mean, I'm here for 3 weeks. Yeah. Let's do it.
Okay, cool. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. However you're consuming this.
Means a lot.
We're also on our Patreon, patreon.com/JA, making new videos every Thursday.
That's right.
And we'll be back here next Monday, of course.
Of course.
And see you next week. If you have any segment ideas, let us know. Bye, everybody.
Later.
That was a HeadGum Original.
Hey there, podcast listener. Good news. We're doing another HeadGum Happy Hour in New York City.
Whoa, that's amazing news. Amir, why don't you tell the folks when and where it is?
Okay, fine. It's Tuesday, May 7th at 7:30 p.m. at the Bell House.
Okay, and why don't you tell everybody who the fucking hosts are?
Yeah, that would be us. It would be, we're hosting it. It's Jake and Amir.
Okay, and how about this, you little piece of shit? Why don't you tell everybody who is going to be performing? Who is this show featuring?
All right, I don't appreciate being called that, but it is featuring Charlie Bardet, Natalie Rotter-Lateman of Exploration
Live. And why don't you tell them who else it's featuring?
Yeah, Millie Tamaras and Elise Morales of the Go Touch Grass podcast and
some surprise guests as well.
More, yes.
And Mir, why don't you go ahead and close this out now? You say something like, thanks for listening. We'll see you at the show or something like that. Why don't you go ahead and do that?
I will.
Can you do that?
So go buy a ticket at headgum.com/live and we'll see you there.
All right. Bye.